CDPF Online Disability Equality Capacity Building Course 2021 Online Presentation Module 13 Building DPOs, Campaigning and Increasing Our Voice. Presenters Richard Reza, the General Secretary, Sarah Kamau, the Acting Chair, Shruti Mohapatra, CEO from Swaberman, and also the Vice Chair, Steve Esty from Canada, who's on the executive, and Natalie Murphy from Dominica, who's also on the executive. That was slide number one. Slide number two of 29. Disability as an individual's problem. Most non-disabled people, especially doctors and disability professionals, think disability is an individual's problem. So if someone who uses a wheelchair cannot get upstairs to a meeting, people blame the wheelchair and not the stairs. People think we are limited in what we can do because we are not the same as the rest of society. This is often called the medical model of disability. It has been around for a long time. Slide number 23. Disability as society's problem. The Disabled People's Movement has developed a very different way of looking at disability. We have learned that disability is not caused by us, it is caused by society. This is often called the social model of disability. What stops us is the fact that we live in a world which ignores our needs for access, understanding, transport, education, employment, and so on. The building was built with no lift, and the people organising the meeting didn't move it to a ground floor room. Slide number four of 29. Definitions. Impairment is the loss or limitation of physical, mental, or sensory function on a long-term and permanent basis. Disablement is a loss or limitation of opportunities to take part in the normal life of the community on an equal level with others due to physical and social barriers. And that's from Disabled Peoples International in 1981. Slide number 5 of 29. UNCRPD. Who are people with disabilities? Article 1. Purpose. The purpose of the present convention is to promote, protect and ensure the full and equal enjoyment of all human rights and fundamental freedoms by all persons with disabilities and to promote respect for their inherent dignity. Preamble D, UNCRPD. Recognising that disability is an evolving concept and that disability results from the interaction between persons with impairments and attitudinal and environmental barriers that hinders their full and effective participation in society on an equal basis with others. Article 1, Purpose, UNCRPD. Persons with disabilities include those who have long-term physical, mental, intellectual or sensory impairments interaction with various barriers may hinder their full and effective participation in society on an equal basis with others. The UNABLE website is un.org/disabilities. Slide number 6 of 29 is barriers within our society, and it's a cartoon. A man and a woman with a stick. The man says, when we talk about barriers, what do we mean? And the woman says, anything that stops us from joining in with the rest of society. And the next picture has her pointing at some steps. For example, we would call something like a flight of steps a physical barrier. And in the next picture, she is describing various formats, where info is only in standard print and not in formats like this, a CD, BSL video, tape, large print, braille, easy reading pictures. That creates information and communication barriers. The next picture describes, there's a little sign that says no nutters allowed. Nutters is a bit of an old fashioned and rather nasty term for somebody who has a mental health condition. But I often find it's other people who stop me joining in with the rest of society. And the lady said, well, that would be an attitudinal barrier. The next picture has her, there's nothing else, it's just her talking. When these sort of negative attitudes exist in organisations, they result in policies, practices and procedures that disadvantage us. So we would call this an institutional or organisational barrier. And the last picture. So when we see these barriers, not our impairments as the problem, and she says, we can all work together to remove them from society. And that is from somebody called Crippen. Slide number 7, taking pride in ourselves. Once we realise that it is society and the way it's organised that disables us, and not our impairment, we can take pride in ourselves again. If disability is caused by physical barriers and other people's attitudes towards us, it is impossible to get rid of it. If all the barriers which face people with impairments were removed, we would no longer be disabled. The Disabled People's Movement understands disability as society's problem and works to take down the barriers which prevent us from taking our full and equal part in society. And that's from the British Council of Disabled Persons, Disabled People, 1999, with Disabled People's Movement. And there is a link as well to the website. It's disability-studies.leeds.ac.uk. We're going to put the PowerPoint up as a slide, as a file, so you may be able to get this link anyway. It's from slide number 7. Slide number 8 is a cartoon picture of some people sat around a table, and we're assuming they're non-disabled people, and the sign on the wall says 24-hour patronise-a-thon, as in people being patronising. And there are two people coming into the room. One is in a wheelchair and the other one is holding a placard that says nothing about us without us, with the idea that people that are non-disabled sitting around a table talking about raising money for the disabled, but without using disabled people, without talking to them. You're in the wrong room. This is the organising committee. It says charities continues to patronise us. Slide number 9. How do DPOs trust and work with NGOs and charities? Do they accept the leadership and thinking of disabled people's organisations or DPOs? B. Do they do everything they can to empower and build the capacity of DPOs? C. Do they reject the charity and medical model in favour of social / human right model of disability? D. Do they put their organisational, financial and training resources at the disposal of disabled people and DPOs? E. Do they allow disabled people and their organisations to lead nothing about us without us and not steal our clothes? And F. If the charity provides welfare services and treatment, do they still empower disabled people they work with? Those two actually switch around on here, but I read them in order, right? E and F. And then there is also some brochures or kind of pictures from certain organisations that work with disabled people's organisations. So there's a picture of Site Servers, Handicap International, who are now Humanity Inclusion, Light for the World, CBM, and Leonard Cheshire. Slide number 10, 120 years of speaking for ourselves. 130 years of speaking for ourselves. In the 1890s, the British Deaf Association and the National League of the Blind were formed. These are very first organisations run by disabled people for themselves. In 1974, the Union of Physically Impaired Against Segregation, UPS, was formed by disabled people and it began to campaign. UPS wrote a paper called Fundamental Principles of Disability. In this paper, UPS set out the ideas that are now called the social model. Since then, many more organisations run by disabled people have been set up. They are known as OF organisations to set them apart from groups run by non-disabled people for disabled people. I'm going to read that paragraph again. Since then, many more organisations run by disabled people have been set up. They are known as OF organisations to set them apart from groups run by non-disabled people for disabled people. Then there are three pictures at the side here. A pictorial history of the British Deaf Association. It's obviously a book, 1890 to 2015. A photo of some people marching. It's quite an old one. There has been some progress, but it's not good enough. National League of Blind and Disabled, March 1920. And then at the bottom here is the British Council of Organisations of Disabled People. A photo of people protesting. Slide number 11. Why start an organisation? There are groups of people in every society who do not achieve all that they could because of a history of being considered as inferior members of that society. Disabled people have the same needs and rights as non-disabled people. These include a social life, education, food and money, dignity and respect, access to community services, access to specialist services, forming relationships, sexuality, having a family. Increasingly, in the last 50 years, disabled people all over the world have to come to realise that they need to develop their skills to be all that they can be, that they must begin to make decisions and take control of their lives. Doing things alone doesn't always work. No one has all the answers. Being a member of a small group of disabled people, talking about experiences and developing respect and support for each other is a good step towards self-respect and independence. Slide number 12. Finding the first members. Find two or three disabled people and talk about what matters to you and what you have in common. Each of you may be able to bring in someone else. Ask to contact disabled people through your local health centre, rehabilitation workers, community development workers, field representatives and non-governmental organisations. Stop them in the street if necessary. Visit day centres and the sites of local festivals and market days. Talk to your local newspaper, community radio station, local government, religious and community organisations. Once you know where disabled people are, go out and talk to them and their families. Discuss the problems disabled people in your area face and your ideas for the future. Families of disabled people can play a very important role. As long as you have at least two or three interested people, you can share out the workload and encourage others to take on different responsibilities. Good ways of finding new members are important throughout the life of an organisation. It requires a lot of time and effort, but it's the first step in development and keeps groups alive. Slide number 13. The first public meeting. The core group of four or five people needs to organise a small public meeting for disabled people and their families in the area. The aims of this first meeting are to talk about the problems for disabled people in the local community, to discuss some possible solutions, to get more people to join, to get people with different impairments, experience and skills to take part. The place. Remember to pick a time and date where people are likely to be able to come along. Where will you hold the meeting? Can you hold it outside if the weather is good? Many groups, when they first start, meet in someone's house. Sometimes you can ask people who own or run community centres, village halls or church buildings to let you use their premises for free. Make sure disabled people can get to and get into the place you choose. Access. The major problems for everybody trying to organise a meeting are how to get people there. Finding the right place to meet and making sure that everything that happens can be understood by everybody. Arrange for sign language interpreters and personal assistance. Slide number 14. Why we have to be in charge. For far too long, non-disabled people have made decisions about our lives. In the last few decades, disabled people have found the strength and confidence to say, we need to speak for ourselves, make decisions about our lives, because we are the experts when it comes to disability. Self-determination and independent living, choices and rights. Independent living means having choices about your life will be and having control over your life. Slide number 15, deciding aims 1. First, you have to decide the organisation's basic aims and guiding principles. This should involve everyone who wants to take part. As the membership grows, there may be different or more things to aim for. Ask people for their ideas and hold a meeting to encourage discussion. Examples of short-term aims. Form the organisation. Find funding. Develop one project, for example, income generation or access to local transport. One major aim of an organisation of disabled people is developing the skills and confidence of its members. This is achieved through building a sense of solidarity, by members taking part in the group's activities and by improving the status of disabled people within the community. Slide number 16. Deciding aims 2. Examples of long term. Improve the situation of disabled people in the community. Work with government and other people in power to change legislation and policies to protect the rights and meet the needs of disabled people. Develop ways to improve the social and economic chances in disabled people's lives, education, employment, health, information, etc. Conduct outreach programs that find disabled people, particularly in rural areas, and ask them about their needs. Develop self-help projects for the organisation, e.g. a wheelchair workshop, a market stall that sells craft work made by members or food crops grown by members. Explore ideas for income-generating projects so that the organisation has money to run well. Encourage people with different impairments to take part, including those with intellectual and psychiatric impairments, and other groups of disabled people who get left out. Encourage people with power to improve disabled people's lives through national and local programmes that serve their needs. Slide number 17. Principles for equality and growth. Whether they are income generating schemes, service providers, campaigning organisations or all three, most organisations of disabled people are concerned with dignity, justice, equality and full participation for all disabled people. Accountability. The organisation, its services, programmes and policies should be for the benefit of all disabled people, or for some programmes, a clearly defined group, such as women members or people with particular impairments. Accessibility. The organisation, its services, the place it meets, its programmes and materials should be available to all its target group of disabled people, where and when they want them. Control. The organisation and its programmes should be controlled by disabled people themselves. Dignity. The organisation should be based on the idea of rights, not a charity. In some countries, you may have to become a charity for legal reasons. This should not interfere with the organisation's rights issues. Flexibility. The organisation should be flexible to meet the changing needs and demands of disabled people. Image. The organisation should promote a positive public image of disabled people and the organisation. Inclusion. The organisation's activities should aim to encourage and enable disabled people to live inclusive lives in their community. Monitoring and evaluation. The organisation should include a good monitoring and evaluation system which will help it to make sure it works well and is accountable. Personal development. The organisation should help members to take part in the life of their community and should encourage a sense of independence, self-esteem and solidarity. Slide number 18. Membership. Who can join? Organisations of disabled people are usually defined as those controlled by a majority of disabled people, at least 51%, at both the board and membership levels. If disabled people are not in the majority, they cannot control the policies and decision-making. We become disempowered recipients of other people's solution to our problems. Some organisations do have relatives or other supporters of disabled people as members. Their impact is valuable and can support the views of disabled people themselves, but it is disabled people who must be in the majority and in control. Remember that everyone has the right and the ability to make choices. Those who feel they represent the interests of people with severe intellectual impairments can best empower, liberate and develop them by letting them take an active part in the programmes and policy-making activities of the organisation, allowing them to express what they want and what they think, then acting on that rather than deciding on what is for the best. In some organisations, the workforce, paid or unpaid, are members, though they cannot also be on the management committee. The committee of management should always have a majority of disabled people. A rule about this should appear in the bylaws. At the annual general meetings, AGM, you can vote for the management committee or board and other posts, officer posts. You can maintain contacts between members, run workshops and seminars to educate and inform them, and to discuss particular issues of concern to the main aims of your organisation. See UNCRPD Committee General Comment number 7. And there's a website address on here. If we put this slideshow up with this website, with this address on it, this is on slide number 18, and it's UNCRPD Committee General Comment number 7. It's a download. It's quite hard to describe it. tbinternet.ohchr.org. So tbinternet.ohchr.org/layouts/15/treaty-body-external/download. That might work. Otherwise, I say it's clickable on the slide number 18 at the bottom. Slide number 19. Progress of a social movement 1. Isolation, solidarity, struggle. Stage 1. Disabled people are often isolated from each other and the world, locked in institutions, segregated by inaccessible housing, hidden away by families who are ashamed and frightened of them. They have no money, no power, often no way of moving about or communicating with each other. Stage 2. Sometimes as a result of being managed in groups by medical and rehabilitation professionals, and sometimes due to families of disabled people forming organisations, groups of people with the same or similar impairments begin to come together. Stage 3. Disabled people with different impairments realise how some of their experiences are similar. Stage 4. The single impairment and the issue organisations join together to campaign to change attitudes, laws, policies and services. Slide number 20. Progress of a social movement 2. Isolation, solidarity struggle. Stage 5. Change comes quite rapidly. The community is more aware of disabled people, sees them on the streets, at work, on television. Programmes and policies change and legislation is passed in some countries. Technology advances and mobility, access and information improve. Many preventable diseases disappear. Disability becomes a human rights issue. Use social media. Stage 6. Despite positive changes, there are still problems and new dangers. Disabled people everywhere are still the poorest group, the most vulnerable to violence in all its forms. The search for cures for impairments means that some non-disabled people seem to think there need to be no more disabled people at all. Threat of NGO funding, NGOs stealing our clothes. Stage 7. The future? The worldwide disability movement grows in strength. More and more disabled people free themselves from despair and segregation and decide to work together in local groups and at the national, regional and international levels. As a result, more non-disabled allies understand that disability is a human rights issue and add their support. CDPF is part of this movement. Disability Awareness in Action Resource Kit for Organisation is under independentliving.org/docs2. So, independentliving.org/docs2. Slide number 21 of 29. Use self-evaluation tools such as SWOT analysis of your DPO. Strengths. What are your advantages? What do you do well? What do other people see as your strengths? Weaknesses. What could you improve? What do you do badly? What should you avoid? Opportunities. What are the good opportunities facing you? What are the interesting trends you're aware of? Threats. What obstacles do you face? Does your group have all the required skills for the job? Slide number 22. Human rights abuse activity. Human rights campaign activity. Work out how you would build a human rights campaign to end the situation and introduce the relevant part of the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. What you want to change? What will you do? Who will you recruit to the campaign? How will you research and publicise your campaign? How will you know if you've succeeded? Which parts of the UNCRPD would you use? Slide number 23 is a film. Natalie Murphy talking about Building Dominica Association with People with Disabilities, DAPD. Slide number 24, Building Disabled Persons Organisations in Kenya. The United Disabled Persons of Kenya, UDPK, is an umbrella organisation of DPOs in Kenya. UDPK has a membership of over 200 DPOs registered under it, representing all types of disabilities and gender. The target is to reach all disabled population countrywide. To increase authenticity and capacities of DPOs and persons with disabilities to effectively represent and advocate for their rights at national and county levels. Institutional strengthening of DPOs to meet their mandate of advocating and demanding for their right and services from service providers. To strengthen the capacity of DPOs to effectively monitor the rights of persons with disabilities. Advocacy work in inclusive policies, education, inclusive environments, non-disabling environments and inclusion in all other spheres of life. Awareness raising and creation on disability rights. Slide number 25. National Union of Disabled Persons Uganda. The National Union of Disabled Persons of Uganda, NUDIPU, is a national umbrella organisation of associations of disabled people which are non-governmental, autonomous and voluntary in nature. It brings together people with all sorts of impairments. NUDIPU was formed in November 1987 when the different associations of disabled people came together to break the tradition of being divided in wrong medical lines and resolved to work together. NUDIPU's mission is to advocate for the equalisation of disabled people's rights and opportunities with those of other citizens in Uganda, to try to improve their quality of life in the fields of health, education and socio-economic welfare, and to make sure that services developed are relevant to the needs of disabled people. Confidence building. Sharing experiences and information, observations and endorsements, conscientisation and sensitisation, practising, decision making. Training in the identified needs through discussions, skills transfer, seminars, coaching, workshops, field trips. seeking recognition through self-advocacy, publicity, utilisation of skills, mobilisation of resources through fundraising, subscription, income-generating projects, soliciting support through negotiating, persuading. Key goals: to achieve public and self-awareness of the full potential of disabled people, to identify and meet the needs of member organisations and their membership, to improve the availability of orthopaedic appliances, hearing aids and other technical aids, to improve basic education, vocational training and other non-formal education for disabled people, to increase the incomes of member associations and their membership, to achieve self-confidence and public recognition of disabled people. Slide number 26. National Union of Disabled Persons Uganda 2. Membership is open to Indigenous associations of disabled people with all types of impairment. Currently, over 30 regional and national organisations are members of NUDIPU. As an umbrella organisation, NUDIPU does not deal directly with individuals, but can provide information and guidance on appropriate groups or associations for individuals to join. NUDIPU will also give advice on the formation of new organisations and can assist such groups to grow into fully fledged associations. Philosophy: disabled people themselves know their own needs better than anyone else, so NUDIPU believes that they are best placed to make decisions affecting their lives. Agencies intending to work with disabled people should always build on the priorities and initiatives of those same disabled people. Only this method will help meet the real needs of the target group. All of NUDIPU's programmes are planned, managed, implemented and monitored by and for disabled people themselves. NUDIPU was born to challenge the traditional attitudes that do not recognise the abilities of disabled people, but view a disabled person as an object of pity, sympathy and charity. NUDIPU believes that the greatest disability of disabled people is other people's attitudes towards their impairment. These negative attitudes held by the general public have had following impact on disabled people: loss of hope, dormant potential, dependency syndrome, self-denial and self-pity. NUDIPU also believes that a disabled person has the ability to break out of this downward spiral if he or she is able to make decisions and choices about matters concerning his or her well-being. Slide number 27 is a film, Shruti Mohapatra, is the CEO of Swabhiman Odisha in India. Slide number 28, Nothing For Us Without Us. Nothing About Us Without Us is one of the most powerful campaigns carried out by the disabled people across the globe. The slogan, Nothing About Us Without Us, resonates with the philosophy and history of the Disability Rights Movement, DRM, a movement that has embarked on a mission parallel to other liberation movements. The DRM's demand for control is the essential theme that runs through all its work. Control has universal appeal for DRM activists because the needs of disabled people and the potential for meeting these needs are everywhere conditioned by a dependency born of powerlessness, poverty, degradation and institutionalisation. This dependency, saturated with paternalism, begins with the onset of disability and continues until death. The condition of dependency is typical for hundreds of millions of people throughout the world. Only in the past 35 years has this condition begun to change. Although little noticed and affecting only a small percentage of disabled people, this transformation is profound. Slide number 29. Conclusion. Disabled people's organisations play many roles at the local, national and international levels for disabled people, governments, service providers and the general public. In many cases, the organisations of disabled people are best vehicle to carry out the aspirations of disabled people. After all, disabled people, from their own personal experiences, best know their needs, aspirations and abilities. Government programmes should continue to work closely with the NGOs and community-based organisations to strengthen DPOs. This could include undertaking training, building technical capacity building in running a society, lining them with appropriate NGOs. DPOs have contributed significantly to the liberation of many disabled persons. Decision makers and professionals need to acknowledge the important roles played by DPOs.